Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on 11/18 as we start to plow through November of 2014. Headed toward 2015.
It's rolling along here. Well, I got a lot of, this is the time of year I have all sorts of birthdays. My wife's birthday, her best friend's birthday, my mother's birthday within like 3 days of each other. And then we got the Thanksgiving coming up. And then it just, all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's, you know, the 30th of December. And where does time go? But what's with the cold weather, since we're talking about nonsense?
Not cold here.
No?
No, it's fine.
The Northeast, I saw a note from FedEx that they said that maybe there's going to be a disruption of service.
Well, there should be if you can't, you know, get any to get to your job.
The you know what's interesting? Down here we have in Florida, there's three counties. There's Dade, Broward, Palm Beach. And in the old days, if you were to send something via FedEx using their FedEx, what's it called? The Super Saver or the Ship Saver or their something Saver. It's like a three-day thing.
Yeah.
It would get to any of those three counties the next day. A little trick.
Okay.
So the other day I happened to send something, and I sent it, it was to, I don't know, a place in the same county, actually, and I sent it in the Express Saver, that's what it's called. I sent it Express Saver, thinking I sent it Friday, it would get there Monday. So I checked on the package just before, and now today's Tuesday, and it says, arrived at FedEx location, not due for delivery till Wednesday, holding until Wednesday. So I think they're doing this obviously because they figured out that a lot of people were using the Express Saver and saving all sorts of money on stuff that they would get there the next day.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a form of corruption.
Yeah.
So if you can get it there, you'd think the company, if they had any sort of, I don't know, loyalty to its own customers, mm-hmm. it would try to get it to the customer as quickly as it could do without breaking protocol. Mm-hmm. Instead of now, they're actually spending money to hold the package back.
Yeah.
So they're actually hurting their customers and the shareholders at the same time.
I think there needs to be a class action on this.
Well, I don't know what you can do. They're not guaranteeing it.
Right. They said 3 days. That's what they said. So now they're just holding it. And if you want to get something in the next day, no longer can I do the shenanigans I pulled before.
Yeah, well, this is because they do not like their own customers or their own shareholders. It's a bad sign.
Well, hold on a second, because the thing is that if they get this across and they get this understanding, there's a next day or first in the morning, there's next day, and then there's afternoon, and then there's this 2 day. The fact of the matter is I should be paying the rate of a rate, but I'm not. I'm paying this Express Saver usually to get things there the next day.
I already know what their argument would be if they were ever taken to court.
What would they say?
They would say that, well, he wanted it delivered in 3 days, and it's possible that that's because there wouldn't be anybody there for 2 days, and they had to get it there on this third day, so, and that's specifically what he bought. That's what he paid for.
Right. Not only that, maybe it was their birthday. You didn't want to get there early. I mean, people have the right to tell you when the delivery can come. Now, there's no such thing as a four-day delivery, so it's not like you could, you know, totally schedule it. And why doesn't a lot of email programs have scheduling? Wouldn't it be much easier just to have a scheduling inside of an email?
Mm.
Or text, that for that matter?
You could do that with MailChimp.
Right, exactly. But that's for mass mail. What if you want to just, okay, here it is, January 1st.
Mailing with one person's name on it.
Yeah, let me just get through all my birthday hoo-ha at the beginning of the year. Put all the things, hey, happy birthday. You've been a great friend all year. You know.
Well, that's a charming thought.
You know? So I'm just saying.
Shows you care.
Yeah, exactly. Who is this? This is no longer a friend. He owes me money now. How can I get this email from him? Anyway, let's talk about some of the things that are going on here. We have hackers from China breached the Federal Weather Network recently, forcing cybersecurity teams to seal off data vital to disaster planning, aviation, shipping, and scores of other crucial uses. Now, this intrusion, this breach occurred in late September, but officials gave no indication they had any problems until October 20th. And this affects things like NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which includes the National Weather Service. So I guess the thing is not that anybody was stealing the weather forecasts, but they were stealing, I guess, some of the possibly some of the data lines and maybe the satellites and the various things. I don't know what the big deal is, but this doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound right either. It seems like a sketchy story.
Yeah,
I'm very skeptical. I don't know what they're up to, but I'm just
I'm just also wondering, what is so secretive about the weather network in terms of what they do?
Well, I would assume if I was on the security side, I'd say, well, the Chinese are, they, I don't know how they can prove that, but let's just say the Chinese are going to go in there and change data so people get the wrong weather reports.
Oh, so what they do is these guys are sitting there going, okay, we're going to really screw America up. We're going to put like a warm front is coming. Everybody's going to go planning on a weekend to go somewhere. Meanwhile, it's going to snow like hell.
And they're going to be irked.
We're going to tell people it's going to be raining all weekend. They're not going to make any plans to go out. Meanwhile, it's going to be beautifully sunny. And the economic impact of that along the all the areas that are beaches is going to be just devastating.
Sink the economy.
Oh, that's great. I can see that being interesting to do. Just have a few laughs, sit back and go, all right, check this out. Check this out. We're going to tell everybody sunrise at 9 o'clock when it's really 7:30. Yeah,
that's what I'd do.
Oh, I love it. Anyway, so that's going on right now. These hackers, we saw that Home Depot's numbers came out today, and they're putting in some enormous amount of money on the line of, hacking / breach / cybersecurity cost factors. But I don't know. I guess, well, Home Depot has some of their own credit cards. But and I've been using Apple Pay, by the way, at the Home Depot.
Oh, yeah. How do you like it?
I think it's great. It's interesting. I don't know why I have to sign after that.
What?
I thought
the whole idea was to just click and pop and go.
Nope.
Oh.
Still got to sign.
That's dumb.
So all it is like a stored digital credit card. So I just don't have to reach in my front pocket for my credit card. I just have to get in my back pocket for my phone, I guess. And
all
since,
right.
and since not every place...
I'm very disappointed to hear this.
Right, isn't it? I thought it was kind of disappointing too. Now, meanwhile, you
have a fingerprint thing. You're supposed to have your fingerprint on the little fingerprint. Right. You tap and go. You're done.
Right. Not the case. But when you use this, it's for people that know what I'm about to say, it's very similar to this. When you're on like a cruise or you're somewhere and you're playing like the $100 blackjack table and all those people are standing behind you watching like, who is this guy betting $100 on a hand? So you get all these people like, oh my God, that guy is amazing. And he's so rich and he's, wow. Same kind of thing with this. You get like a little, as soon as you do it, everybody's around like swarming going, what are you doing? Wow, look at that guy. Really, they're very interested in this.
Huh.
Like, oh my God, I can't believe you could do
that. A bunch of monkeys.
Yeah, well. So, back a few months ago, you and I were speculating on an item. We had a couple of things that we were talking about. We talked about, of course, Uber putting out the taxi industry. Okay, that was one thing. We talked about the whole historical situation with, videos, beta, DVDs, now streaming. And by the way, did I tell you there was a party with Wayne Huizenga recently?
Oh, that must have been fun.
He's not doing so good. No. He doesn't look like he's really there.
Oh, he's looking off into the distance.
Yeah, his wife. I really did see his wife. He was one table over from me at this event, and I saw his wife saying, hey, eat the carrots. They're good for you. Eat carrots, and he ate carrots, and they went dancing, and his wife is kind of dancing around him as he stood there. It was very sad.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
How old is he?
She was a good dancer. I guess he's probably 80s. I don't know. Let's see.
Find out.
Let's do the old wiki, the Wayne wiki. Wayne.
H-U-I, what is it?
Zhang. It's something very weird. It's with a Y.
It'll fix it. It'll figure it out.
Yeah,
Wayne Huizenga. He's 76.
Oh, 76. There you go. Yeah, not looking so good.
It looks good in his pictures here.
He has a beautiful house right on the water that I passed by. And he sometimes sits outside on the water, not on the water, but on his massive dock area with a little dog, reading like the Wall Street Journal on a Sunday.
Can you just jump in your boat and drive up to his dock and say hi?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know what I'd say, but maybe have a little breakfast with him or something, a little croissant or a scone.
Scone.
With some coffee. Now, We talked about all these different technologies that were going to become outdated. One of the ones we focused on, if you remember this, we talked about the watches, the mid-level watches. And we said, you know what? People have watches, not as much of a, you know, a lot of people would wear them for jewelry, but a lot of the kids aren't wearing that. They're using their iPhones or their smartphone for their watch and to tell the time. And also now they're coming out with watches that are smart watches and all this good stuff. And, you know, the probability is that watches are going to go the way of what cameras went. I mean, if you ever looked at like shares of Canon or Nikon, oh, those, they look horrible, absolutely horrible. So now we talked about, do you remember this conversation?
Oh, yeah. Ah. Yeah, you talked about using the cell phone for your small camera.
Right. And so now we talked about the watches, and we said, you know what? We focused in on a stock. We focused in on Movado. Remember that?
Yep.
They came out with the earnings this week, or last week. At the end of last week, I guess it was. Stock got smashed.
Huh.
Down about 25% in the right after the earnings came out and followed through for the next day, and they're looking terrible. The chart looks just abysmal. So bad earnings on the last few quarters, but a 25% drop in the stock. I mean, pretty ugly. I gave you a chart there, but this is playing right into the whole idea. If you're an investor, look for the longer and the bigger trends that are going on. Look at what's happening out there in terms of a good example of something new that's maybe disruptive, which I'd like your opinion on, is now Facebook, who owns the internet, is getting into the, I think it's called Facebook for Business, getting into the business side of things, which is now occupied by LinkedIn and Google and Microsoft. But how easy would it be to take your current Facebook page and you have a little, maybe a subsection of it, and you click the business thing. Okay, but, well, here's all my business stuff. And now people look on Facebook instead of looking on LinkedIn to possibly get job candidates. How easy would that be?
It wouldn't be hard at all.
Right. Now, Facebook's going right after. Now, LinkedIn was not happy with this news.
No. Apparently, the stock wasn't either.
Yeah. So, this is interesting. I mean, what is this? Do you think this is going to be... We don't really know, I think, all the parameters of this. Is it going to be Facebook for Business, which is like just pages? Or is it going to be individuals now, I think, that are going to be able to utilize this for job hunting, for employment, for, you know, a little bit more of that? And, of course, the more information you give on that, the more Facebook has on you, which translates into more opportunity for corporate advertising.
Well, I thought this was an interesting idea when it was announced. And, in fact, I thought the whole thing Facebook was up to, which was, I think they're going to go into, you know, attacking Google and Microsoft and LinkedIn and Twitter. They tried that already and it hasn't gone very far, but they, you know, they want to create their own like world where everything is about in and out of Facebook. I don't know. The problem with the business part is I don't use Facebook at all, but I do use LinkedIn, even though the value of it is mostly for, you know, researching people or checking them out and see what they've done or whatever. It's like I'm going to meet somebody.
But maybe Facebook, if they had that, well, you'd use that instead.
I see that. Well, I'm not a member, but yes, you could. Except, here's what I think the drawback is: the Facebook program itself reveals so much about you that if you're looking for candidates and they're on Facebook for Business and you go look them up there, you want to see if you're thinking of hiring, you have to see their Facebook, regular Facebook, so that you have to have full access. And you're going to see a bunch of goofballs. And I think people are going to say, oh, God, I'm going to look like an idiot if I post this stuff. And they start to shy away from their normal activities on Facebook, which is what makes it so popular. And I think it would screw it up.
So what it will do is it will take off. Facebook is like socializing when you're drunk. It kind of it releases some of your inhibitions.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So you're saying that if they would have a page that is linked to your personal page and your business page, people may be like, you know what? I don't think that's a good idea because I don't want my employer knowing that I'm getting schnockered every night of the week.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just think it's an unintended consequence. So I'm not convinced that this would work. I think it would be better, personally, if I was the Facebook folks with all my money. I would just find some way to do a merger or acquisition of LinkedIn and keep it as a separate product.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, that could happen. I mean, LinkedIn has been doing very well, gaining a lot of traction. Although their last earnings report really...
It's a little overpriced to me.
Yeah. No, the last earnings report I was not impressed with. I mean, they showed good earnings for this quarter, but they really got it down pretty heavily. So something must be going on, whether it's in the advertising side of things, their users, your users, or something's going on there that they're losing a little steam. Maybe it's, you know, the job market is, you know, we're at full employment. Who knows at this point?
I don't think that's it so much. It's a little watered down. It's not, I don't know. Why don't we look at the chart? What is the chart for that thing?
LNKD?
LNKD.
My stock's been moving and doing very nicely.
Way up. It's way up. It's out of control.
Yeah, 221 is the last price of that. Lost about 2.5%, or maybe lost 4.5% on the news. The Facebook news recently, it was down a little bit after its earnings. It managed just to kick right back up from the $200 range to about $240 after the earnings. And
it's ridiculous. This is really should be like a $5 stock, as far as I'm concerned. What are their earnings? What kind of money are they making? I don't see it that they're making any.
Yeah, they're making money. Let's see here.
Look at the price of this
net thing. Profit margins are negative. Actually, operating income 1.5. Let me see what the raw numbers are here.
It's the lowest this thing's ever gotten. It's gotten down to 60. What, 63 is the low ever?
That's where IPO'd at. Yep. Yeah, up here to like 80 something.
Let me go back to the beginning. Yeah, 60, yeah. Huh. Now it started skyrocketing. It was high at 96, and it went up and up and up and up and up. Then took a huge plunge.
Its EPS is negative 12 cents. You're right. They're making money, but not keeping it.
There's revenue.
Right. There's revenue, but net income is not there.
Right. And that's questionable whether they could ever achieve any. Mm-hmm. So its high of all time appears to be 253.
Yep.
So it's off from the high. I just don't see it. I don't get it. I don't see what the...
Well, it's like anything else.
And it's something you could copy. I mean, I think Facebook could easily do this product.
Which is what they're doing.
Yeah, well, there you have it.
So, pure genius in your part thinking that up, John.
And yes, I am. Astonishing sometimes. And Facebook does make money, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, oh yes, they absolutely make money.
So Facebook they could probably make money with this as opposed to the LinkedIn folks. Right. You know, they don't want to make money because people will realize that they're not going to be able to make that much of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, on to Japan for a moment. There was some big news out of Japan this week. Japan is now officially in a recession. I gave you a chart of their GDP growth. Now, remember something. Japan has put an inordinate amount of money into their markets through quantitative easing, through all sorts of programs. Now, back earlier this year, there was a consumption tax that was increased in Japan. And the Japanese thought, hey, I have a good idea. We know that consumption tax is going into effect, let's call it March 31st. And you know what? Before this tax hike goes in, I'm going to do a lot of shopping. I'm going to go out and buy everything I can so I don't have to pay the tax when it starts happening. And I'll stock up till eventually.
And that would account for the spike.
That was the spike. The GDP went to 1.5%. Woo!
Yeah, it went up.
Okay, it was in a downtrend since September of 2011. Now, what happened the following quarter was... that their GDP just plummeted, just absolutely plummeted. And when we look at what happened now, this is, again, quarter over quarter. This is not annualized. Annualized looks a lot worse. But quarter over quarter, their GDP was down again. Two quarters is the official call for a recession if two quarters you have negative GDP. And they had two quarters negative GDP. Now, okay. So now we got to say, well, look at all the money they poured, trillions of dollars. I think it was a few quadrillion yen they poured into the markets, keeping interest rates low and pushing money into stocks and all the things that have gone on. They just announced another plan 2 weeks ago, and the stock market went up like 10% in 3 days. Well, Shinzo Abe, who is the prime minister over there, it's kind of like President Obama being the head of the Fed and the Treasury all at once. Well, there's something called Abenomics, which is his three-part plan, three arrows in the quiver, as he calls it. One's going to be stimulus, one's going to be tax reform, one's going to be some kind of fiscal work, okay? Well, I happened to be up very early this morning, and I was watching him speak live, And one of the things that really concerned me was that, or I shouldn't say it concerned me. I want to hear what you have to say about this. He talked about his plan and the plan that he has in strategy to revive the Japanese economy, which has been a tailspin in deflation for years, decade. And he talked about, he said, the Abenomics plan, blah, 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 blah. And he talked about it and he named the plan. I thought it was a little odd. You know, we give these names like Obamacare. That's like Obama getting up there and saying, okay, the Obamacare program.
He actually has said it's a, he has, I think he's done that.
Obama? I know, healthcare, he calls it, healthcare reform.
No, I think at one point he says, I'm liking the name Obamacare. I think he maybe used it in the speech.
Really? Well.
But I know he did say that he liked the term. Thought it was a compliment.
Okay. Well, Abe is talking about this. I found it extremely egotistical.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And something that will make him stay with it, even if it's the wrong thing, because now his name is implanted on it.
Ah.
So I just thought it was odd him talking about it in that with that name, not you know the stimulus packet Abenomics. And he talked now what he did today. Was two things. Because there is such a deep recession now, the implementation of the next set of tax hikes that was going to happen, he's going to postpone them to 2017. And he's going to dissolve the parliament and do a new flash vote, a confidence vote, if you will, and a vote to make sure that the people agree with what he's doing in December. I think it's kind of cool. It's like President Obama saying, no, we're just going to get rid of everybody in Congress here. Just get rid of them. And we're going to have a vote. And he could do it anytime he wants, like push the reset button. A lot of governments do this.
Hmm.
So this is his latest plan to, I guess, provide for a little bit longer time period to prove that his plan can work, even though it hasn't worked so far.
I don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
No, I agree. He's nuts.
Yep. But at the same time, the markets are at a high in the U.S. We hit another high today on the Dow and the S&P 500. Woo.
Question is, will it go above 18,000 before the end of the year?
Jeremy Siegel says it will. CNBC keeps bringing these guys on, the biggest bulls out there, like over.
Oh, yeah.
Over,
well, CNBC over. Is one they call the, it's a, you know, what's the C stand for?
Cheerleading network.
Cheerleading bull. You know, cheerleading network of bulls, and we have to come up with this company.
Yeah. Inc. So that's what they keep bringing this guy up. Now he's talking about, the Dow is going to be over 20,000 in.
By the end of the year?
2015.
Yeah, that I actually could subscribe to that.
It's about a 12% gain from here, or so.
I can see that. Yeah. I don't think that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. So from today, there was a couple of things that spurred on markets. I thought it was a little bit ass backwards, because what we saw today was PPI, the producer price index, climbing more than was expected. And this is
now, how's that calculated again?
Well, they look at essentially the input pricing and the cost on manufacturing. So this PPI, producer price index, what the producers are paying for things and what they cost to produce things. And you got the CPI, which is the consumer price index, is what people are paying for those goods. Now, if the PPI, let's just say, was 1% and the CPI was 3%, we could say, wow, you know what? There's definitely inflation. There's definitely an increase in costs. But at the same time, what we're seeing is that they're passing on those costs very well.
Right. And there's money to be made.
Right. Yeah. And exactly. The margins are wide. And you're seeing that there is a lot of ability to raise prices being tolerated well. Consumers are paying it. It's an inflationary environment. But it's good because there's a lot of inside money between the margin, between the spread. But here's what was interesting. So with the PPI climbing, we'll see the CPI, I think, when's the CPI coming out? Let me look here. CPI is on the 20th. So that's on Thursday. So we'll see if there's actually an increase to that. At the same time, the dollar kind of didn't really rise at all, but gold went like bananas today. Gold was above 2,000 today.
Isn't that because Putin's buying gold for some reason?
I don't know why he's buying gold. Maybe. There's talk of the Australian government buying gold. There's talk about the Swiss now buying gold. There's talk about Europe possibly buying gold to try to inflate everything. But I don't know how that happens. Unless they use it as a quantitative easing measure in some way.
I don't know.
But the Japanese yen did not actually fall as you would have thought it would have, with the fact that they're so weak there that you know, that they're pushing back the sales tax. That would usually be a sign. I would think it would be a sign that there would be, you know, with our inflation here going higher, deflation in Europe, deflation. You would think that, okay, that news, that confirms the fact that things are better here. But today things didn't do so well. It was almost like gold, which is usually used as an inflation hedge, was actually used as an inflation hedge today.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the yen is a 117. Jeez.
It's still moving up? Moving up tonight?
It's looking good.
Looking good.
If you want to buy a Toyota.
Now, this is, you know, a couple of very interesting things about, we talked about how we've heard no mention or sign, nothing major about Ebola lately. Just the whole conversation went off the table.
Now the election's over. Who cares?
Okay. Well, in India, the government quarantined a man who was cured of his Ebola, and he was traveling from Liberia. But he was cured from it, but he was still quarantined because they found, when they took samples of his semen, it tested positive for the virus. Now,
his semen.
I'm not kidding about this.
Is that what they do to you when you land in Bombay? Hey, buddy, come over here. Get in this line.
You had a choice.
I know this is going to be a little weird, but just bear with me.
This line for those of you that like to give a urine sample, and this line for those of you who would like to give a semen sample. So somehow, I don't know, it seems very wrong, doesn't it?
The story seems very fishy.
This is a story. This is seriously, okay? Now, in Africa, people are advised to abstain from sex or use a condom for 7 weeks if you had Ebola. 7 weeks. Now, there's no documented case of Ebola being transmitted sexually. Now, just let's stop right there. Isn't the whole idea of the way that Ebola is transmitted is through fluids?
This is interesting.
Right? But somehow it can't be transmitted sexually. How is that?
That makes no sense, of course.
No sense.
No.
And this is a professor of virology at the University of Warwick in the UK. But I'm still stuck on this whole thing about this guy that his semen tested positive, you know, for the virus.
Hmm.
Maybe he actually did a urine sample. He was asked to do a urine sample, but thought, you know.
Just for fun.
Just, you know, let's see. But I don't know. Obviously, the reason why they're doing this is because this whole thing about, you know, trying to tell people not to have sex and all this. And, you know, it only it's funnier when it's real. Now, what's interesting is if you look at the chart I gave you, there's a couple of different charts. Ebola by the numbers, it's a bar chart there.
Yeah.
I thought this was really interesting because, you know, what we've been talking about, you and I, is there's been no mention. It's kind of like the Ebola's been cured. You know, it's not here in the United States, so we don't care about it, right? Well, meanwhile, November is not over yet. And look at the Ebola cases that are reported already there's 14,000 cases or so total.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. Oh, no, it is actually over 14.
So it's growing dramatically still.
It's up a bit.
And the deaths are at about 4,200 now or so. Now, when we relate
this chart, indicates a trend, except for the deaths.
Right, deaths are slowing down. That's good. That's good. So what I found was really interesting was there's two charts I want you to look at. It's very interesting. When we look on Bloomberg, we look at the Ebola story hits. So what you have here is it's a chart that counts the number of times in stories that are on Bloomberg, which is a news media, how many times the word Ebola was mentioned? Okay. And we chart, I could chart this over the last year, let's say. Now you see a tremendous spike starting in October. Went from 150 stories to like 1,200 stories.
Yeah, just in time for the elections.
Okay, back to that again. Yes. And so you can see this chart. So, you know, it shows you the magnitude of stories and then it dropping back off, right?
Yeah.
After the elections.
Now, what you're trying to, I know where you're going with this.
Yes.
You're going to contrast the chart above with the increasing in Ebola numbers of both cases and deaths. And you're going to contrast that with this chart, which shows that the actual problem with Ebola is not being reported in any one-to-one relationship with reality.
Right.
And so we have that it fell off. And I'll just say what I said before. I'll say it again. The election's over.
Okay. Well, let me give you one more chart that puts us all together. Look at the Ebola underscore SPX. This is the same chart we saw a second ago with the story count that goes from, 200 or so in July up to about, actually the story count was maybe 3,000 in total in October, right? And what I overlaid on this was the price of the S&P 500 during the same period.
This is very good. This is a good chart.
This is a good one, right?
Yeah, yeah. You should definitely put this on the DH Unplugged site.
So what you see is a total mirror, a inverse relationship.
Yeah, this is actually pretty good.
I mean, this one works, right? Kevin actually.
Yeah, except for that secondary spike, it didn't seem to have much of an effect. But generally speaking, I think this is what we're looking at, which is the stocks were depressed with the high number of Ebola stories. And then once they started tapering off, the S&P 500 skyrocketed.
Yep.
In exact relationship.
Yep.
With the exception of the one spike.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is very interesting, and that could be some reason why, you know, a lot of the news media is pretty bullish, and they're like, you know, maybe we should clam up on this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, don't forget, people that write for the news probably have 401k programs. They probably have their own stocks in a portfolio. And if they can control this, now obviously that's not always just as simple as that.
Well, now that you've done this, let's just jack it up again, short everything, and then let it bottom out and then go long. It sounds like a great market manipulator.
Yeah. How great is that?
But the problem is, of course, you can't get this many people in the room to agree to do it.
Right. And not get arrested.
Hey, I'm just reporting the news.
Right. Well, so we have, I think there was one case, somebody was flown over here and he died, actually.
Yeah, he was already dead when they flew him over, pretty much.
Yeah. So, but still, the Ebola stocks are not doing anything. They kind of just fell off here. Now, there's a lot of deals that have been going on. We've seen that, remember that Zillow was buying Trulia?
Right.
Yeah, that's off.
It is?
Yep.
Huh, what happened?
Well, as far as I can tell, probably, if you look at what happened to Zillow over that period, I think their stock dropped about 25% or so. Probably the currency that they were using.
It wasn't as attractive.
Yep, so it just didn't do so well. Then we saw that there was something going on with Radio Shack. That's been pulled also. Halliburton... On Friday or Thursday, there was some news and some murmurs about, there's a potential deal on the table that Halliburton would be buying Baker Hughes, one of their major competitors. Excuse me. Now, that was Thursday. Friday came along and deal's off. No good. Too much problems potentially with the Justice Department and overlap. And how would they get this deal done? Well, miraculously over the weekend, deal's back on. And not only that, there's a tremendous breakup fee. If, in fact, the deal is not done, Baker Hughes gets $3 billion payment from Halliburton.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
It's a big one. Yeah, it's about 10% of the deal. That's tremendous.
That's a bigger. What was the one with T-Mobile and AT&T? Was that where they were trying to put together those two?
Yep.
And there was one of those pills in there for that?
Yeah, there was just in case it doesn't go because, you know, somebody, it ties up their stock, it ties up their people.
So you had to pay off a bunch of cash
just
to clear the deal.
So this also makes it very attractive. And, you know, Baker Hughes would may have said, you know what, I don't know if we're going to do this. The whole road to get this done between all the legal issues and who knows if it's a good thing. We're not sure yet. Well, this makes it very attractive to Baker Hughes because they don't give a crap. Like, you know what, if it gets done, they buy us for all sorts of money. And if it doesn't get done, we get $3 billion. That's great. That'll cover our costs.
Yeah.
Cover up legal bills.
That's a win-win for that company.
Yeah. So they that's back on. That would be make pretty much the second largest oil services company next to Schlumberger. So there's a couple of the deals that actually went south also. Well, actually, Actavis is buying Allergan, the maker of Botox. It seems like Botox is one of those drugs, not even a drug. What is it? It's botulism, right? It actually kills things temporarily,
it's
right?
It paralyzes the nerves.
Right. In the old days, my mother always said, don't buy dented cans. You get botulism. I'm like, I didn't know what it was. I'm like, oh, my God, I don't want that. To this day, I won't buy a dented can, will you?
Cans. It's like, yeah.
You heard that too, right?
Oh, yeah.
To this day, I see a dented can. I'm like, no, it's got botulism. I'm thinking, you know what?
Usually when a can has, if there's something wrong with the can, it starts to swell. If the can is bulging, that's what you don't buy.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So I was thinking botulism is also killed by heat.
I was thinking about getting a can and rubbing it on my forehead. Yeah, get some baked beans that are dented. Who knows?
That guy smells like beans.
But look at that forehead, man. There's not a wrinkle in it. So anyway, we're seeing a lot of that go on, and a lot of the deals that were happening, a lot of the merger and acquisition that was going on. We have, of course, Zoetis that's being wooed, it seems, by Bill Ackman. But a lot of the deals that were going on due to the inversion, they've been squashed. You don't hear any more of the healthcare deals anymore because the government got pissed off that, tax money was going overseas. Meanwhile, you watch commercials and this one on Ireland. What makes Ireland great is that Ireland is great for business or something, whatever their tagline is. But yeah. These on TV, they're promoting the fact that, hey, move your company over to Ireland. You'll get some great tax benefits. Not to mention all sorts of good whiskeys. Or scotches.
Luxembourg had a deal similar to that. They were scamming everybody with a 1%. Promoting it, so nobody,
Luxembourg was one of the best places, maybe you don't know this, but one of the best places to hide assets or to at least create asset protection.
Yeah.
The whole business of the country was pretty much these, banks having essentially numbered accounts. You create a trust inside of Luxembourg.
You crack down on it, I guess.
And they would help you with it. They would help you with it.
Yeah.
You'd get like this whole series and create this like web of trusts.
Yeah, I guess, and it went from here to there to here to there.
Right, why did they do that? Because they got the 1% or whatever the position was, on that.
Yeah, it was 1%.
Yep, that's nice. So from the there is hope in this world for someone who's suffering and someone who, just maybe is misunderstood and just couldn't get things going for a long time. And one day it just all disappears and just everything is wonderful. You know what I'm talking about?
Obama?
No, Charles Manson.
Oh, Charles Manson.
Yeah, Chuck, I call him Chuck. Chuck.
Yeah,
Charles. He's 80 years old, and he's just been issued a marriage license.
Yeah, for to marry some 26-year-old.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to play, like, Beatles records backwards and stuff?
Probably. That's what I'd do.
Is he still in jail?
Yeah, of course. He's in forever.
But he got some kind of a marriage license. Now, what? Just give me a little glimpse into the woman that thinks this is okay to do.
She thinks that she can get pregnant.
What?
And then she has she's got the Charles Manson baby.
Oh, that's
and
like.
And now she can use that for publicity and book writing, tour with the baby, the devil's baby or whatever.
It's like Rosemary's Baby.
I don't know anything about this woman, but assuming she's some sort of a loser, this is probably her way out of poverty. I think this is probably going to be a good idea for her.
So if they get married, he'll get conjugal visits with her?
Those tents or whatever, those trailers, I think, that married prisoners can go meet with their wife once in a while, once a week. I don't know what the process is. And they can have sex. And the idea is to get pregnant. And, men can keep impregnating women until they're 90 or so.
Wow.
That's my guess. I don't know.
Maybe she loves him. Maybe she loves him.
Maybe she loves him.
Maybe. You're so
realistic.
You're so cynical. maybe this is true love. I mean, maybe it's kismet. Maybe it's, beshert. You don't know. I mean, what?
Still probably, has that stupid swastika carved into his, you know, between his two eyebrows.
Yeah, maybe they could, you know, maybe she is just understands him and thinks that he's, you know.
Misunderstood.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just needs somebody to
care for him.
Maybe to help get him out.
Right. Yep. Well, let's see, a couple of things going on here. You know, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, the Congress, the House of Representatives, voted on the Keystone Pipeline, and it passed.
Yeah, they failed today.
It failed? How did that happen?
Well, it was in the Senate, and they had this, I have a funny newsletter item that'll be in tomorrow's No Agenda newsletter, showing Nancy Pelosi putting up a Photoshop picture about how horrible it is going to be, or how much worse it's going to be than it is already in Port Arthur, Texas, and she makes the refinery look like it's on fire. They had a lot of Democrats voted for it, but they needed 60 votes, and they couldn't quite get there.
59.
Yeah, they're short one.
Hmm. That's amazing.
And it'll come up again. And besides that, the pipeline's being built anyway. I mean, except that the only reason for this vote is to take it into Canada.
Crazy. There's a lot of reasons, and I understand the environmental issues that could be a problem. I get that. You know, listen, you have a pipeline running through your town, and there's just a little bit of a leak. Probably not good for the town.
These things are going to be mostly underground. It's a very high-tech pipeline. And as one of the proponents pointed out, I listened to the hearings, as one of the proponents pointed out, right now there are 2.9 million miles of pipelines in the United States, or maybe 2.6. 2.6 million miles of pipelines in the United States already.
And they're picking on this one.
Well, that's because this is symbolic, this one. Symbolic of the global warming phenomenon. It's like if you're, it's going to make global warming worse somehow, even though there's already 2.6 million, it could be 2.6 million miles. That's a lot.
And it's global warming. This is just to catch me up because we're getting back into the colder time in winter and fall, and that's when they usually get the global warming conversation. I don't know why you don't hear it in summer, but okay. And this is when we have the Indian summers and the crazy heat in the winters that people start screaming that this is global warming, right?
They always do, yeah.
And when it gets too cold and we have cold snaps,
global warming, yeah.
It's global warming also.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. You know what? I think marrying Charlie Manson makes more sense than the whole global warming thing.
Well, a lot of people would agree with you.
Yeah.
A lot of them wouldn't.
Yeah.
But it's political, so it's like that's what always gets me.
Yeah,
it's so down the line political that tells me that something's phony about the whole debate. If it wasn't political, I'd be fine with it. Mm.
Well, Richard Branson, love this guy. Really, I mean, is he cool or is he cool? Have you ever met him?
No, I've seen him a couple of times, but I have not actually walked up to him and said hi.
He's a cool guy, isn't he?
I don't know. Is he?
He looks like a cool guy. He looks like he seems like a cool guy.
Oh, no. He looks like a really cool guy. And he's, you know, he's.
I'd want to hang on his island with him.
Yeah. As long as it wasn't during that period where he has to burn it down for insurance purposes.
Right. No. Before that, probably would be
Let's
better.
Let's leave a body in it. It would be more believable.
So his Virgin Atlantic, which I have yet to fly on, but I need to do this. I've been on Virgin America, or Virgin...
Yeah, it's not what it once... Well, it used to be a little better than it is. But
so his IPO came out at 26 a few days ago.
Yeah.
To 37 today.
Yeah.
Nice. It's a good move.
Yeah, it's dynamite.
Yeah. Speaking about other personalities that are in that vein, I put Richard Branson aside, but we had Charlie Manson. Now let's talk about Al Sharpton. Have you seen what he looks like? He looks like he's a shriveled up old man.
He lost
very large head.
Very large head, very small shoulders.
Very large
head. He went on some diet of some sort and lost all his weight. And so he's got this huge head and this little bit of shoulder. He's creepy looking. He's only about 5'10". No, I'm sorry, 5'5". He looks short.
He's
short with a giant head and he's absolutely creepy.
He's got to wear V-necks. There's no way he could wear a regular shirt and get the head through the shirt.
I didn't realize that without all his weight, he's a petite male.
He is small. Now, Did you know that he has, according to the New York Times, $4.5 million in current state and federal tax liens against him?
That's funny.
Who would have thought a guy like him that just shows up at all these things that happen would be scamming the public with...
I don't know. I'm surprised the IRS puts up with it.
Yeah. $4.5 million in state and federal against him and his for-profit businesses. I didn't realize he had for-profit businesses.
I think all his businesses are
for-profit. What do you look under? I need to get somebody. Let me look. I got to look in the yellow pages. Protest starters. Yeah. Oh, Sharpton. Yeah, there he is. I know that name. Right? Guys that will do whatever they can to get all sorts of craziness going in the neighborhood so that the insurance companies pay up.
How much money is he actually pulling in that would have a $4 million tax lien?
Well, let's look that up, shall we? It would be Al Sharpton income. Maybe.
Net worth.
He himself owes, this came up right away on the top here, by the way. He owes New York State $806,000 and has federal liens for unpaid balances of income taxes of $2.6 million. The Harlem-based NAN owed $813,000 to the federal government by the end of 2012. Let's see. Net worth? What do you think his net worth is before we go there?
I'm not looking at the page. I'm just taking a guess. $20
million. Wow. $5
million. $5
million? Yeah.
Seems low.
Huh.
I mean, if you have $5 million in tax liabilities and $5 million net worth, that doesn't seem to be a good idea.
His estimated net worth is $5 million. He earned his net worth through his radio show, Keeping It Real, as well as regular guest appearances on Fox News, such as the O'Reilly Factor, CNN, and MSNBC. Oh, now he's getting, you get money?
Well, he's got his own show on MSNBC,
right?
And he has one of the best. And the irony of this show is that Adam and I looked into this. It's one of the best rated shows on MSNBC, even though you can't understand a word he says.
I have a hard time with that.
And I think he has enough of an audience that he should be bringing in. Probably they should be paying him, from what I can calculate, $5 million a year.
Well, he's making $500,000, his salary, for host of Politics Nation on MSNBC.
He's getting ripped off if that's true. Because his viewership is close. It was pretty high. I think it was like 600,000. And if you calculate 600,000 viewers, and I think this was on a daily basis. I might be wrong. I might be off by a factor of, but let's say I am. Let's say I'm up by a factor of 10. He's got 100,000 viewers. That should be $100,000 of budget. This is kind of a rule of thumb in broadcasting. If you are on TV for an hour and you have 10 million viewers, you will generate, that's $10 million equivalency in income for that show alone. And then that's where you budget from. You budget $10 million. You budget from the $10 million that you would get. The network obviously takes a bunch of it. Overhead takes a bunch of it. A lot of it disappears. You have, you know, maybe $1 million to produce the show left, and then you have another chunk that goes to the talent. On a show like his, which is just him talking and a staff of a few writers and, you know, normal small staff, if he's only making $500,000 on that show, they're stealing his. They're ripping him off.
Hmm.
He needs a better agent.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, at least the way I do the calculation. I mean, somebody could, you know, say, well, it's not the way it works on just cables, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. So one of the things that we've also talked about is, a couple of different things about where is all the money coming from? You know, how the market continues to rally and it just keeps on going up. And when it comes down, it goes, you know, they bounce back in and all that. Where is all the money coming from? And I've talked about sovereign wealth funds. Remember that? Other governments possibly putting money in, foreigners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the numbers came out today.
Okay.
Foreigners bought a net $164 billion in long-term financial assets in September after they purchased $52 billion in August.
In September alone?
Yep, in September. Now, this is a record, by the way. In March 2010, the record was 139. Now, think about that for a second. That makes a lot of sense if you look at where the market went, right? You know, that gigantic V that happened in the market and it just kind of kept plowing in. So in September, it came in a little bit. There was all this money that came into various places, and they're probably pouring in still. But this is a lot of money. Now, not all of it goes to stocks, but some of it does. Some of it goes into, you know,
a lot of it does, apparently.
Yep. Yeah. And a lot of it goes to treasuries. A lot of the governments buy treasuries. But $164 billion in just in September.
Hmm.
So that's kind of like what's been going on. There's a lot of money coming in from.
So that's at least $1 trillion over a year.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of selling that went on in terms of bonds. I think China sold a bunch of bonds, the treasuries. Japan keeps on buying. They have to. It's good for them to buy U.S. because what they do is by buying the U.S., they essentially raise the dollar, right? So they're taking money out of yen and buying dollar-based treasuries. So that's another reason why the yen keeps on going lower. They're helping along by selling out and taking money out of the country and then pushing it into dollars.
Mm.
So that's all I have. Let's talk about some of the stocks. How don't we?
Yes. How are we doing?
Let me find this here. A few things. Well, actually, nothing stopped out this week. There was a few things that last week stopped out. This is a game that we played. This is not an offer to buy or sell any security. Myself, John C. Dvorak, or Horowitz Company clients may own securities that we talk about, and that will be duly noted on here. Of course, use financial advice from a professional if you decide to do anything with the idiotic ideas that we come up with.
We have some good ideas.
Yeah, we have good ideas. We do.
Some of them aren't so good, like your, let me just throw one out.
Go ahead.
Shorting Panera Bread.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Or my idea of shorting Apple.
Yeah, that never seems to be a good idea.
No. But it's good to do once in a while so you can get a feeling for it, and then you'll know when to really do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I would have held, look at that JNUG. You see that one that was stopped out? It was up 20% today. It's up like 15% yesterday. If I would have held it just a little while longer, it would have been up awfully nicely.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Yeah, your today, gold negative lending
so,
rate.
So listen to this. So we stopped it out at 360, right?
Yeah.
Today, it's 590.
Nice.
That's sometimes the curse of stops.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to have your rules.
Yeah. Now, since this is a three time, we should think about, I should have thought of maybe a much higher stop because normally you go 10%.
Yeah, it's too late now.
Too late. The good news is we had some options. We had some call options on the GDX, the underlying ETF that holds the gold miners. And we had actually the three time gold in the portfolios for clients. And we cleaned up pretty nicely. I think we made, 270% or so on the option last week or so. Worked out very nicely. Now, Ambarella, which is a play on, to a degree, a play on GoPro. 30% of the business comes from GoPro. They do the, you know, a variety of optics and sensors and things related to cameras and things of that nature. Was upgraded today. It was up as much as actually 8% during the day, and then it kind of fell down towards the end there.
Yeah, that was a good pick.
Yep. Zoetis, we saw that there was clearly M&A going on. That's the animal meds and animal supplies. Then we got, Anheuser-Busch is just bubbly as always, up 9.5%. DaVita up 9.5%. Bank of California up 7%. TransDigm, that was a beautiful thing, 13.7%. Because that one's been pretty all over the place, but lately it's been doing very well. Your pick on my pick on Twitter, sorry, up 23%, which is good. America Assets Trust up 15.6%.
Yeah, that was the one that was – that Twitter one of yours was the complicated one because you had to wait for a certain point before you could short it.
Yep. Sometimes it pays. Your short on GoPro is doing well. I think you're getting close to being stopped out because you were up much more for a little while.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to get killed.
Mm-hmm. IBM, unbelievable. It can't move.
Yeah.
it's just like a big lug.
Yeah, well, it's dead money.
I don't understand why it won't move.
Well, when it does, it's going to be something to see.
Yeah, it will be.
I thought my 1022 month ago buy of Walgreens was a good one, based only on insiders.
insiders have done very good for you, for the most part.
Well,
you have,
yeah.
You have others?
Not this week, no. I got nothing.
I have nothing this week either. What does that mean?
That means it's probably at a tipping point. We have one way or the other. We're just going to let these slide and see what happens.
I mean, there's a lot of things I've been looking at and some interesting ones out there that I've kind of been looking at. I mean, for example, let me throw this out to you. We just talked about it. What about a short on LinkedIn?
Oh, yeah. A short on LinkedIn.
Not the worst idea ever, right?
No. People may come to their senses and think a dive. I mean, it's to me, really, it's a $5 to $10 stock. I don't know why it's never gone below 60. It's just not that kind of a company. It's just, I don't see that it has any, I don't know, it just baffles me whether it was at 200. You want to do a purple one here?
We haven't done that. Yeah, we could do that. Let me just put this in here.
Yeah, let's just short LinkedIn and see what happens.
LNKD.
We've always won on those.
Yeah, those have been good. I'm going to copy this here.
It's almost like a sure thing.
When we agree. It's like two fine minds coming together. In a mind meld. Almost like a Vulcan mind meld.
A mind meld.
14. Okay, so it's there. So it's going to be short. And we're going to... should be... we're going to say Facebook competition. How's that? That's our Facebook competition. Yeah, they'll be running for the if the market turns, they'll be running for the hills on that one.
Oh yeah, that stock will not. Yeah, well, the market's not going to turn for a while, but that'd be a great one to be on board with. When there's a number of stocks like that, but LinkedIn definitely.
Right, short LinkedIn entry. Okay, so it's on the. Oh, not yet. All right, that'll be on the list. And by the way, you can look at this list. It's on dhunplug.com, and it's a Google spreadsheet that's live, and you can see how we're doing and. See, you know, we're not just, you know, we put our money where our mouth is, so to speak. We're not just, you know, out there shouting out all sorts of names like some of those guys out there, right?
Yeah. And then, you mean like all they do on CNBC?
Right. They shout out all sorts of names. And when it goes down, it's a good buying opportunity. When it goes up, it's a good buying opportunity. If it doesn't move, it's a good buying opportunity.
Yeah. They don't really have a lot of guys on that network that push shorts at all.
They do.
When they do, the guy's just short. He's on there for a very short time.
Right.
Short.
Fast money. The show that's at 5 o'clock, I think. There's a couple of the guys there.
I like that show. I think it's enjoyable because it's high energy.
Plus, there's multiple personalities that argue with each other. It wasn't just the same droning discussion of everybody agreeing with each other. And in the morning, I like Joe Kernan a lot, but his questions are longer than the answers. He can have a 2-minute question. And then when the person answers, he just talks over him the whole time.
Huh. Yeah, I can't get up that early to watch that.
Yeah, that's early for you. That's pretty early. What time do you get up in the morning?
I usually get up at 7 or 8.
Hmm. I've been getting up early lately. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe I should go to bed later. That'll solve that problem, you would think.
What time are you getting up?
5:30.
Nah, it's not that bad.
Not bad? I get nervous because my great-grandmother used to be, she'd like always be up. You know, what time do you get up? Oh, I've been up. Well, how long, what is that? You know, you see,
I've been up.
Well, let's just say that there is a test pattern on the TV. They don't do that anymore, do they?
No, I've never seen one.
Yeah, well, in the old days, why would they do that? They lost advertising revenue.
They never thought of it that way.
Ah, stupid.
Yeah, you know, nowadays they'd rent the time out to some, you know, infomercial guys.
Right.
Times change.
Yeah, they
weren't maximizing their incomes. They didn't have a clue.
Any infomercials you like? You like the shark?
I don't watch. Let's see. What was the last thing? I like that hose.
I bought one of those things.
Does it work?
You know, why it works? Because the hose inside is very small. Okay.
Oh, so there's no pressure.
But there is pressure.
No throughput.
Yeah, but what happens is that you can't turn the damn thing on and get like a little trickle out of it. It's just constantly.
Oh, so it's just going to be all or nothing.
Yeah, exactly. But it does work. I'll see how long that lasts. I bought one of those. I thought I was getting a deal for $40 at the boat show.
I bought one for like $10.
I know. I'm not happy about it.
They have them everywhere now. You can get them at Home Depot. You can get them at, you know, discount places.
Yeah. Anything else that you'd buy? What else is online? I mean, you got the choppers, the juicers?
No, I don't. No, I don't go for any of those.
No, the knives. I bought something on QVC once. I bought this wallet or money clip.
I bought some junk jewelry on some of these on Home Shopping Network once.
Yeah, I still use that money clip.
Well, there you go.
On one side, it fits all credit cards, and the other side, just shoving money in there. I don't know what I would do without it. Don't know what I would do. All right, well, we'll talk next week. Next week is Tuesday. It's going to be a couple of days before Thanksgiving. Maybe you'll talk about what you're making. You're going to make a turducken. You're going to make a turkey.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be up in Washington State, so I'll be calling in from there.
Oh, very nice. All right, well, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.